Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. This is your host, Curtis, my co-host, Holly, and today we are going to talk about a topic that is near and dear to Holly's heart, as always, because we always like to talk about things that are near and dear to Holly's heart, because she is passionate about the subject of PR, marketing, and stuff like that. So today we're going to be talking about what to do when your campaign is messing up, fucking up, not doing well. Holly's had this happen to her. I've had it happen to me. Everybody's probably had it happen to them where the campaign's just not taking off. And we're going to talk about this for a little bit. And we're going to go over some solutions and things we've done to handle it. I hope Holly's got some solutions, because I know I got some solutions. So, Holly, first of all, thank you for being here. It is wonderful to see you again. It's been so long since we last talked.
Yeah, it's been a whole 5 minutes.
Since we last did the podcast. So for those of you, we're doing a round robin. I think round robin is the right word. Day to day, where we're doing a couple podcasts in a row, just so that way we got them. So Holly had the great idea of talking about what to do when your campaign isn't going very well. So Holly, what were your thoughts first of all when we first discussed this?
I like how you make it sound like your idea is my idea. Anyway, moving
on. That's how it works.
But I mean, you know, sometimes PR campaigns, they just don't click. I guess it's kind of the results that we hoped for, or the artist hoped for, they just don't quite come in. Sometimes it's volume of press coverage, sometimes it's if there's a particular media outlet you want, sometimes you just can't get it. So it's kind of a how do we make the best of it and try and turn what is maybe not the best campaign into hopefully a better one.
Well, here's where I want to start off, because you're going a little bit further ahead than I wanted to right off the bat.
Sorry. But,
no, all good. It's your idea, don't forget. This was your idea. This was your idea, not my idea. So, totally not my idea. So, first of all, I think the thing that needs to be established at the beginning of a campaign is kind of what the expectations from the band are. So, now, most bands who are releasing independently, and who, like, for example, are on a debut or they've never had press before, are not, as a general rule, going to be getting mega big publications on their first bat, as a general rule. Would you agree with this?
Yeah. I mean, it does happen now and again, but generally it is going to be a bit smaller because, you know, essentially people don't know who you are yet. And your following maybe isn't quite there yet, so.
Well, it's not only that, but for those of you who are listening, Holly also is a journalist. She writes for a couple different places sometimes. She's not full-time on that, obviously, because she does PR. But journalists get, like, okay, so I don't think I've ever asked you this, so this may not be a big number. I don't know. How many promos do you personally receive per week as a journalist?
I mean, it could even be 200 a week.
Okay.
At times. Cool. I'm not on, my personal email isn't on many PR lists, but it's on a few. So, yeah.
But and you're still 200.
Sometimes it can be as many as 200. Other weeks, it's maybe like 50, but it swings around about.
So how many lists do you think you personally are on right now?
10.
Okay, so you're on 10 and you're, okay, let's say 13 maybe,
yeah, give or take, something like that.
Okay, so Holly's on 13 and she's getting up to 200 per week, which isn't that many lists to be on. I want to point out
it's not.
So Holly's getting about 200 per week. So I would say someone like who works at, for example, Metal Injection or Metal Sucks is probably getting, if Holly's getting between 50 to 200, they're probably getting up to 500 probably or more per week, because they're going to on every single PR's list. actually it's probably not that high because but still it's probably going to be a fair amount. So now let's say that you're getting, how many per month would you say you're getting promos?
Oh, I have no idea. Maybe maximum 500 a month.
Max. Okay.
So I'd say probably maximum. It's not. Yeah.
Okay. So let's say you're getting 500 albums that are roughly about 45 minutes long each. My math is, I'm bad at math. Do you know, are you good at math?
No.
Okay. But well, let's say you're getting 500 promos times 45 minutes each. That's a lot of music. That's a lot of time to be spending and listening to music. So most people are not going to have the time to do that. So out of those 500 promos, and again, this is probably going on the larger end of things. It's probably a lot less. Like if you go to a new release list, there's probably going to be maybe 400 or 500 a month. Maybe. Okay. So out of that, how many reviews do you think on average a newer band is going to get when you got stuff like Korn? What released last week? We had like Korn and a whole bunch of other big bands releasing last week from main labels and stuff. So there's a point to this. I'm not just rambling, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you look at it, a newer band is going up against all those other people, many of whom are on major labels, many of whom are well-known bands. I mean, like if you get the choice, like between, as a reviewer, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this band, but if you had the choice between reviewing Korn or a new independent band, you personally, which would you prefer to do? And if it's independent, that's fine.
Honestly, it depends because I don't know. Sometimes I will intentionally avoid a bigger release if there is something smaller that sounds more interesting to me personally. So it really depends what it is. But yeah, I mean, generally speaking, obviously a bigger band is going to go to, you know, get more priority for most publications.
Well, let me ask you this then. Let's switch the question around a little bit. If you were the website owner, which would you pick? If your revenue depended upon clicks and stuff like that, which would you pick?
Well, if it's revenue dependent, then you'd have to do the big one somewhere, because that's going to get more clicks. And exactly. Unfortunately, that's how, you know, it works.
So the reason why I bring this up is because if you're a newer band and you're wondering why, for example, you don't get covered at like a major, major publication right off the bat, usually it's because you're up against these other 500 people. And like this last week, I'm just looking at the new release list right now. Like there was Korn, Mass Worship, Rollo Tomasi, Venom Prison, tons of different bands on big labels. Saxon's another major band. Anyways, there's lots there. So if you didn't get like the front page spot at Metal Injection or Metal Sucks or whatever, that would be the reason why, most likely. Sometimes can you sneak through? Yes, you can. And if you have a good publicist, they'll be able to pitch you there, and a lot of times they'll be able to get you coverage there, but it's not always guaranteed. So one thing that some newer bands will say to me is like a band that they know, a smaller band, got covered by, for example, Decibel or Metal Injection. Why didn't they? Do you know the answer to this question, Holly? I know the answer to this question most of the time.
Well, I can think of a few different answers. So,
I want to hear what you got to say about it before I go into it.
Well, timing, genre preference, publication, slots available at the time.
You're missing B. Let's see if you get it.
I probably am missing, aren't I? I'll go on. Yeah. I'll miss the obvious one.
Probably. Okay, so a lot of times what will happen is something will happen that most people don't realize. A lot of times that small band knew the writer or personally, which is fine. I mean, this happens, right? So I mean, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but I mean, if you know someone already, you automatically get a better chance of doing something. Like if I get an email from you or I get it from Joe Blow, I'm going to open up your email from Joe Blow, or not over Joe Blow, not the email from Joe Blow. So if I see Holly and Joe Blow, I'm going to open Holly's email, probably do something for her if she asks me, versus Joe Blow, who I don't know. Also, sometimes it might be someone that maybe they put a show on for, that maybe they book shows and they already know the person through that, so the name's already familiar with them. But a lot of times, like if a band that you know got something and you didn't, and you feel like you're better than them, sometimes there was a connection there. Or it was like what Holly said, good timing. They were just like that type of thing. So basically your publicist's job is to get you in front of those people and do their best to get you those placements. But sometimes it's just not going to happen because if you're newer, you need to build up to things. I have had it where bands will do a campaign with me when they're brand new, won't get like big placements, but then the second time that they do it a year or two later, totally fine because people know who they are. Sometimes journalists don't open the promo till after the campaign ends, and then they hear it and they're like, oh shit, I should have covered it. That happened at one point with a band, a thrash band I was working with in 2017, didn't bite right off the bat, but then a guy who works at a major site heard it after release. He ended up putting it on a major playlist. And he did a little write-up about them, but it didn't happen until after the campaign ended. And then we were able to kind of snowball off that, but afterwards. But like things like this can happen. Anything else you want to say about that before we move on, Holly?
Oh, there was something and it's gone. it'll come back later, hopefully.
Cool. So, okay. So like that's pretty much the first thing that we talked, this is expectation we set the ground for. That was kind of my convoluted way of saying, like, check your expectations before you start. If you want to get covered at Metal Sucks, that's totally cool. We can try to get covered at Metal Sucks, but you have to realize if you're a brand new band, your chances of getting covered, for example, at a place like that are a lot smaller than, I don't know, a band who's on Century Media, for example, like a lot smaller. Even if that band is fairly new, debut album, just because they're on Century Media, which is owned by Sony, I think they're owned by Sony. Pretty sure they are. They got a way better chance than you do just because they're on a major label, blah, blah, blah. Did you figure out what you wanted to say before we move on to the next one?
No, you've got to give me longer than that. we'll be fine.
So we're going to be like it's going to be 3 or 4 o'clock. Podcast is going to be done. You're going to go, we got to redo this.
Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. Anyway, never mind.
Cool. Okay, so you get to do the next part here because I got some stuff. You haven't introduced anything about this topic here.
I think probably timing and release date is, cool, I would say, quite a major thing. There are, you know, a lot of websites do a schedule of what bands are releasing stuff when. I would recommend having a look at those before you choose your release date, because like you say, if you release on the same day as Korn or whoever, they're gonna choose them over you. Not always, but the vast majority. And maybe ideally avoid a few days before and after as well.
Yeah. One thing with the release dates I do want to point out is you can still get fucked by them. Even if you plan it in advance, like for example, you could be planning something out for it's February right now, for March, and then tomorrow someone does a surprise announcement that they're releasing. One example is, and also even if you release your single, you never know what's coming out, because here's a really good example of this is people keep surprise dropping all these singles. Arch Enemy dropped a single yesterday. No one knew that was coming out, at least no one that I knew it was coming out. And then there was Watain, I think, released a new single yesterday too, or maybe it was the day before, I don't remember. But anyways, that's two major, major bands. You had no idea, we didn't know was coming out with anything. So it's just like, it can happen. I worked with a band a few years ago that every time they dropped a new single, Metallica dropped something the same day, and it was fucking awful. It was during the Hardwired to Self-Destruct release, and it was just... I hated it. But anyways, so with release dates, you can still get screwed by it, but do your best as you possibly can. Most stuff for the next month will usually be announced, not next couple months will usually be announced, but you can still get screwed. What were you gonna say, Holly?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the way to look at this is choose the sort of, I don't know, generally speaking, quietest period.
Yeah.
Over the busiest one, and then it will give you the best chance. Yes, things still might crop up, that's life, but at least you've got a better chance than, say, doing end of October, early November, end of November, because that's when all the really big stuff starts coming out and Press coverage gets booked up. I mean, a good example of this is, what was it? We booked somewhere for early December for a Decibel premiere and booked it what, end of summer. And even then, they were filling up. Like, they only had a couple of spaces left end of summer. So you really got to be planning in advance.
So,
just stuff to bear in mind.
So, okay. So, like, let's say you get the campaign going now. Because I think we beat that part to death. So let's say you got the campaign going and nothing's really happening. So Holly, what is the very first thing that you would do other than cry and scream? What would you try to get things going?
News features can be quite good to get, and it puts you everywhere. And the more people that see you, then the more other reviewers might remember your name and be more likely to pick things up. Trying to organize interviews can be a good way, because then at least you're getting out more information, if that makes sense. You might reveal something else that you find interesting and pick up on. I mean, you know, we can ask if something really isn't being picked up, we can ask journalists, you know, why are you not picking it up? Is there a blatant reason that we haven't noticed that you don't like this? Sometimes it's just a coincidence. Sometimes there might be a reason why, you know, sometimes like political stuff doesn't, I mean, we don't particularly go down the political route, but some people don't like it. So it might be just little things like that. It can be a number of things.
Yep. So what I always do, I get mad at first, obviously. And then next thing I do is I just find anything that I can get. Right off the bat, I don't care how small it is. Like, if something's not moving for me, I always look for absolutely anything. I don't even care what it is, just to start getting some traction going. So that might even be post a social media post about it first thing. Might be resend the Holics out. Might be resend a MailChimp out. It might be just start asking people, or not asking people, but asking them to do like form interviews. It could be, like you said, news items. It could be asking people to repost a stream of something. But first thing I do is I just look for absolutely anything in as much volume as I possibly can to get it moving. Because usually if you can get some sort of momentum going, like you said, then something will start to happen. So like, even if it's something small, tiny, stupid, I don't care. I will get them, like, if nothing's happening, just get it going like that. What else would you like to say on that part there, Miss Royal?
I mean, I guess another thing to mention is just like, you know, sometimes the smaller stuff can get moving more than you think it might. So I guess that is one thing to perhaps mention, is sometimes getting on a bigger blog doesn't always guarantee major, major, major traction. And getting on a smaller blog doesn't mean limited traction. It can work both ways. We will just try anything really, I guess.
Got it at that point. So, okay. So now next thing we're going to talk about what to do when the campaign's going wrong. So let's say you're not getting a premiere anywhere. So you asked your publicist, or you did it yourself. You asked them to pitch Metal Sucks. They said no. They said, you asked them to pitch Metal Injection. They said no. You asked them to pitch Decibel. They said no. You asked them to pitch Knotfest. They said no. You asked them to pitch Loudwire. They said no. You asked them to pitch Brave Words. They said no. So basically, you're pitching everywhere. Everybody's saying no for whatever reason. It could be due to timing. It could be due to whatever. In that case, what I would suggest is, some people say that you should just go for a tiny blog, and maybe you should. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a judgment call for most people. But at the same time, you might be best off at that time just releasing the song yourself and then getting a press release sent and then asking people to pick it up as a news item. Because if everybody's booked up or everybody's saying no, then it's either A, your song isn't very good, or your video isn't very good, which could be the case, but I'm assuming because a publicist took you on, that isn't the case. And it's probably something else, like the timing is wrong, or there's just too much coming out at that time. So, and a lot of times just getting an exclusive premiere doesn't always work to the band's best interest. So if you just release the song, do a press release on it, and then ask as many places as you can to pick up the news, you're a lot of times going to be better off than just getting that big giant placement. What are your thoughts, Holly?
Yeah, I mean, I guess something that perhaps leads into this is, you kind of need something there to promote, if that makes sense. So sometimes actually, especially if it's a first single and we're not really getting much traction for it, sometimes just getting it out is maybe the best thing to do. And then people can be like, okay, this is an example of what is released.
Yeah,
I will listen to the what is coming next and then pick that up. So that is always something to just bear in mind, that if you're brand new and it's not going anywhere, it's sometimes you need to have something out there to sort of, I don't know, to show, if that makes sense.
100%. And then the last thing I want to cover on this, unless you got something else you want to cover, is if your campaign isn't going anywhere, you've tried a whole bunch of different things. One thing I would always check is the press kit. Make sure that A, the pictures look okay, because maybe the pictures look awful. I don't know. Maybe everybody's standing around, I don't know, looking grumpy or something. I don't know, but you can check the photos. You can check the bio. Make sure that you're being at, like, your press kit actually looks good. And if there's a problem there, fix it. And then sometimes that can be it. One time I had an issue where I just wasn't getting any traction with the band, They insisted that they be described a certain way that I thought the whole time didn't make any sense. And then when I went back and I changed the part that I thought didn't make any sense in the press kit and I resent it out, boom, we started getting pickups right off the bat. And another time I had a band who had crummy photos and I had no choice, but it was during the pandemic and I had no choice but to send out the crummy photos because there was nowhere they could get a photographer at the time. It wasn't going very well. And then they finally figured out a way to get more pro photos done, put them in there. And again, fine, no problem. Started getting picked up. So it can sometimes just be something as simple as that. Anything else you want to discuss on this topic here, Holly?
I guess, I mean, this potentially opens another can of worms, but just, I guess, keeping it small. Social media is something to keep an eye on. If you are, you know, do not post stupid things on your social media, basically. Like if you get band members who suddenly start ranting, who post stuff that's misogynistic, racist, discriminative in any way, you know, a journalist is going to look on your social media and think, I don't want anything to do with them. So just, you know. I mean, I feel like most people generally are good people and won't do that, but just be aware, you know.
I agree 100%. Anything else that we need to take up on this? I think we've covered everything, but am I missing something, Holly? You're the brain.
That's a lot of responsibility. I mean, it is. It's expectations. And I guess if you're brand new to this and you don't know what your expectations should be, ask someone. Whether it's you're asking other bands who maybe have been there, or you ask your publicist and just sort of say, you know, what is roughly like a good sort of result for us at this time, you know.
Yeah, if it's a debut single and you don't get at Metal Injection, that's not a failure, not at all. And I've had people do that to me where it's been like they've had a debut single and they'll be like, what do you think we can get? Can we get this, 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 and this? And I'll be like, well, I can pitch it, but I don't know if you can get it. So, oh, there's one last thing we need to cover, Holly, in terms of expectations. If anybody is promising you guarantees of where you are going to be placed, run away from them as far as you possibly can run away from them. About 3-4 years ago, I can't remember what it was, a band reached out to me, said they wanted to work with me, but they were also in talks with other publicists. And one of those publicists promised them for a very low amount of money, extremely low, like we are talking dirt bottom cheap. I don't know how the hell they were charging this little for what they claimed that they were going to be doing. They claimed that not only would they get them a whole crap ton of placements, this was a band on their debut, I want to point out, they would also get them featured in Kerrang. Yes. And for this low, low price, it was like so cheap. I don't even know who the PR was because I didn't ask. They said to me this. They said, oh, that's very funny that you said, you know, you can't guarantee anywhere because this person promised us Kerrang and all these other places. And it was like for this dirt cheap price. And I was like, go ahead then, because they're lying to you, number one. Number two, I can't promise that. I checked later, the band never got in Kerrang. I know they never got into Kerrang. Also, I'm not 100% sure that they were actually promised this by this publicist, because that would be very strange to me. But if someone does promise to you that they're going to get you like this major place, they tell you they're going to get you alternative press or something guaranteed for $50 or something like that, just go. unless they're personally writing about you themselves, which would be weird, just leave. Do you have anything else to say on that, Holly, before we wrap up?
I think that's it. Yeah, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah. Oh, last thing we should talk about. Sorry, I keep moving the goal, but cheap and too expensive. That's the other thing with the expectations and stuff like that. If you're gonna hire someone like a budget PR for like $50, $60, whatever the heck it is, they charge $100. Don't go in there with super high expectations, because you're probably gonna get some really, really small places, and you're not gonna get much attention. I've had people turn us down, telling us that we're too expensive, and going with companies that charge like $50-$75, and they basically didn't get anything, or if they did, it was like Hogs or Brazilians, you know, with like 5 readers or something like that. Anything you want to say about that, Holly?
I think it's just a, you know, you need to work out your budget. So if it's a debut album, you've never done it before, if you want to invest in PR, be aware that it is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a lot of money on top of everything else that you have to spend. So you just need to figure out if you can afford that or not. And if you can afford that, then look into it properly. It's kind of an investment thing. The thing with PR is you're not necessarily going to get your money's worth back immediately.
Yep.
But over time, it will help. So it's kind of you just have to weigh up what you can do and what your goals are with the band and all of this stuff. So,
agreed. All right. Anything else you want to say before we end this podcast, Holly?
I think we've covered quite a lot. So,
Me too. So if anybody wants to have Holly return as being a regular on the podcast again, because I would like to have her back as a regular on the podcast, let us know, because I think she's a great co-host. And I would like to have her more on, but time zone differences can fuck us up. But if people like having you on, we're going to have to figure it out, Holly. So let us know. DM me, DM Holly. Let her know that you like having her on. And with that, we are done.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.